Thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's Evangelist Jonathan.
Yeah, that was the best year we've ever had in this year, and I'm not just saying positive things. Looks like it's going to blow that year out of the water. Great seeing everybody at the end of last year in New Mexico. Great seeing everybody in Hawaii and Texas. Where else? Louisiana, Florida. And great seeing you today. Glad you're here. Watching from South Africa, watching from the Netherlands, Lakeland, Florida. Alex, congratulations on your new appointment in California. Rolinda on the app, Sam Verrett on the app. Great to see you. YouTube, Aaron, Jody, Theodosia, Janice, Susan in Montana. I have an invitation to preach in Montana, and I found that interesting that you're watching. Today, of course, if you were watching yesterday, you remember we were doing seven reasons why leaders fail, and then when we got to insecurity, that took the rest of the program over. So we're taking a whole day to deal with something I've never dealt with before, and then when I was searching on the internet today to study, I wanted to see if Lester Summerall had dealt with it, but he came at it from a different angle. There's really not much. I actually wasn't able to find anything that came at it from the stance I'm going to come at it from. So I would be stupid to think nobody's ever dealt with it before. But there's not much on it. And insecurity is a crippling thing if you have it. Insecurity might be like bad breath. You don't know you have it, but everyone else knows you do. So a lot of what I'm going to deal with today is recognizing insecurity. Because that's one of the problems you deal with when you speak with people about living. People don't know they have problems. Other people know that person has a problem. You know? It's like if you're doing a leadership session and you talk about how you need to work hard. Well, everybody thinks they work hard. Everybody doesn't work hard, but everybody thinks they do. Because they're busy, they have to pick up their kids from school, which is not working. You know, they're just busy. They run around all day, but they don't understand the difference between running around all day and working hard. Everybody, I mean, if you ask people, you know, what do you think the poll numbers would be if you ask people, do you work hard? Do you think there'd be like a high percentage of people go, no, I'm a lazy bum? No, other people know they're lazy bums. They think they work hard. And then it's the same with insecurity. I would think most people don't know that they're insecure. And I'm not saying everybody's insecure. My cousin Teddy Shuttlesworth Jr. is not insecure. And that might be it. No, Rodney Howard Brown's not insecure. That's why it's easy to be under him in the ministry, because he goes in the other direction. He's not having a competition with the people that are under him to do what they're doing better. The better the people under him do, the happier he is. But you and I both know, and I'm sure a lot of people on here have worked with people, that if you start to prosper, they'll say things or do things to let you know, I'm just so you know, I'm better than you. That stems from insecurity. And that's what I want to define it as. I'm not defining insecurity as somebody that's very timid and shy. Because that's only one of the ways insecurity manifests, and that's actually the better of the two ways that it manifests, in my opinion. The other way that it manifests is by you always having to show that you're the best, and then when the Lord sends you helpers, you do things that run helpers off. Sun Valley, Idaho. I've heard it's nice there. Nice to have you, David, on the app. Good morning from Massachusetts, Vivian. Glad you're watching. So I have an introduction, and then as you see in the title, seven steps to overcoming insecurity. Are you ready? Take your Bible and turn to John 6. John chapter 6. Seven steps to overcoming insecurity. Because you're never going to be able to lead anything insecure without people just hating working for you or working with you. That's right. Steve said bullies are actually insecure. And that's the bad way that it manifests. Timidity you can deal with. John 6, verse 58, John 6, 58. I'm the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate manna, but they'll live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Verse 60, many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining, so he said to them, does this offend you? Then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven again? The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I've spoken to you are spirit and life, but some of you don't believe me. For Jesus knew from the beginning which ones didn't believe, and he knew who would betray him. Then he said, this is why I said that people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me. Listen to this. Verse 66, John 6, verse 66. At this point, many of the disciples turned away and deserted him. And Jesus went into a depression. And for several months, just laid around in the wilderness crying, telling anyone who would come near him how devastating it was. No. Then Jesus said, this is why I said people can't come. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and said, are you going to leave also? Look, now, you're not going to find a more secure human being that walked the earth than Jesus Christ when he walked the earth. His whole crowd starts leaving, and there's no, wait, no, you misunderstood me. I'm speaking figuratively about the communion. Let him go. Then he said to the disciples that were there, would you like to leave too? Are you going to go too? And for the only time in the Bible before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, Peter said something intelligent. Where would we go, Lord? For you alone are the ones that have the word of life, the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know that you're the Holy One. Jesus was secure. Jesus did not do what the crowd wanted him to do. Jesus was completely unaffected by people's opinions about who he was or people's opinions about what they thought he should do. You know, your friend Lazarus is dying and the family's kind of upset that you haven't gone and pray. Yeah, I'm not going. And I'd have to look it back up again. Somebody might be able to tell me in the comments. I don't have the exact distance. But Jesus, it's not like Jesus, like Lazarus was dying in Jerusalem and Jesus was in Miami, Florida. Jesus was like walking distance to where Lazarus was and never went. Never went till after he died. Then when his disciples told him, rethink going to Jerusalem because they want to kill you there. I'm going. He never let people's opinion. People said nasty stuff to him. Pastor Bob Nichols, my dad says hello and he enjoyed seeing you Saturday. That's great, Susan. Thanks for the nice words. I like your dad a lot. I don't know what happened to you, but your dad's great. I'm kidding. Probably on the show on insecurity, I should ease up on the joking around. People are coming here to get healed of insecurity, and I'm going to make it worse. Jesus never let his self-worth or his decisions be guided by other people, what other people had to say or what other people thought. Thanks, Alex. Alex Minow said 8 hours walking on foot. You sure? I know my cousin preached it. It was like less. Oh, it was one day's journey, 20 miles. That's a long way. I know when I look on Yelp and decide whether to drive to a restaurant or walk, I think my cutoff's like 0.6 miles. So maybe me and Jesus felt the same about that. When you read about Jesus and you get involved in the life of Jesus and become like Jesus, that's one thing that happens. Your security is found in God. And the reason I want to deal with this in depth is that's the kind of stuff people just say from the pulpit that doesn't really help you if you're insecure. How many of you know our security comes from him? Amen. Well, that's not going to do, that's true, but that's not going to do much if you battle insecurity. Turn to 1 Samuel 17. First Samuel 17, here's probably the second most secure person in the Bible. Verse Verse 22, 1 Samuel 17, 22. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. "Have you seen the giant?" the men asked. "He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes." And I'm telling you, if you could get life exemption from taxes, I would take a run at anybody. David asked the soldiers standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing the Philistine and ending this defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he's allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" And these men gave David the same reply. They said, "Yes, that is the reward for killing him." But when David's oldest brother Eliab heard David talking to the men, he was angry. Got ourselves a little insecurity here with Eliab. What are you doing around here anyway? What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle. So I don't want to stray too far off course, but you see, a lot of times when people say harsh things to you, YouTube commenter, J.D. Shuttlesworth looking like he's about to chop some wood. That's actually a pretty good one. When people lash out against you, they have a problem. This will help you not take people's insults or harsh words personally. When people lash out at you, just realize, who knows what's going on with them behind the scenes? Their husband hits them. Their wife hits them. Their children don't like them. They just got fired. They just found out they have a growth in their lung, and they're awaiting tests to see whether it's cancerous or not. And then you just let people talk. You realize that they have a problem, and they just need somebody to take it out on. And then in this case, it was that Eliab was in the military. He was the one that was supposed to be taking a run at Goliath. So a lot of times, and I dealt with this early in the ministry, and maybe this will help someone if you're dealing with it. If you're young, like David was, and you start advancing, older people that didn't advance will start to lash out at you. "Oh, you really think you're something, huh? Let me tell you something. You're going to find out when you get older." But you're not going to find anything out when you get older, because it's just them. You're like a reminder to them of what they should have done and didn't do. And if you know that, then you can just take it in stride. "What about those few sheep? Why are you even here? I know about your pride and deceit." So when people lash out at you, they'll knock what you're doing. "Oh, you just have a few sheep to take care of." Then they'll knock what you're doing. Then they knock you. "I know about your pride and deceit." David didn't have any pride or deceit. He was a man after God's own heart. Even when he committed adultery, he confessed it and took the consequences. So it's all a lie. But David never let other people's false accusations. If somebody accuses you of something and you know it's not true and you know God knows it's not true, why even defend yourself? I'll give you a bonus saying that's not in the 7 steps to overcoming insecurity. Billy Graham and Bensonita Hossa both use this as a course of action. Write in the comments, "No attack, no defense." No attack, no defense. What does that mean? I don't attack other people, and I don't defend myself from other people's attacks. Jonathan, this minister said this about you. Did he? That's great. Pass the ranch dressing. And then you don't attack other people. Because what happens is, for anybody that has a shred of wisdom, if somebody's always running their mouth about you, that's not true. If it's not true, then don't get worked up. Because if you get worked up, it makes people think it's true. Just let them talk. And then sooner or later, people are like, "Wait a minute. I think this person's actually just a troublemaker because they're always running their mouth. And this guy is not." Never allow your self-worth to be affected by what other people say or think about you. Why would he say that? Who cares? Why would he say it? He's nuts. He has trouble. I'm not going to let it bother me. No attack, no defense. What have I done now? David replied. I was only asking a question. He walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. So he gets nailed by his brother, then he gets nailed by the king, and he keeps going, and he's 17. Extremely secure. You know, well, I was going to do it, and they said, I'm just a boy. That's insecurity. You can't allow people to fester that in you. And I had a lot of plans, and then people told me I could never do it. That's your fault. I'll try to use a softer tone as I'm helping people with insecurity. That's your fault. That may be your fault for allowing those words to have an effect on you. You don't do that. Yeah. By show of emoji hand, how many of you have heard me tell that story of my fourth grade teacher pulling me out in the hall and telling me how hard life's going to be in the future? And I responded to her back then. You know why? The Word of God, if you'll let this read what the Bible says about you, it doesn't say I'm a sinner now that I'm born again. It doesn't say that I'm stupid and weak and broken. It doesn't say that. It says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It says he'll take care of me. It says he'll protect me. It says he'll make me the head and never the tail. If you'll let that fill your thinking, other people's words won't be able to override the Word of God. That's why I bring that up. You can have that as a child, or you cannot have it as a 55-year-old executive, where people's words devastate you. Did you hear what she said about me on Facebook? I mean, she didn't say my name, but like, I mean, read this and tell her, do you think she's talking about me? I do. I mean, who else could that be? And then for 4 days, your whole life is thrown out of sync because of a freaking random Facebook comment. You can't live like that. Jesus' whole disciples, not random people, his disciples were departing from him. You know, whoa, I need you guys. I'm trying to start a worldwide religion here. He watched them go and then said to the other disciples, are you going to go too? If God, I would say security, the lack of insecurity, security is rooted in, if God is for me, who can be against me? You're welcome, modest bear. I guess that's better than you being an arrogant bear on YouTube. I want you to write that in the comments. If God is for me, who can be against me? If God is for me, who can be against me? Presbyters in my denomination couldn't stop my advancement if they didn't like my preaching, if God was pleased with my preaching and my behavior and conduct. And how do you know if God's for you? You've given your life to Jesus Christ and you live a holy life. If you don't let sin come in, that's the only thing that can wreck that. People can't do it. If God is for you, it doesn't matter how many people are against you. Write this down. If God is for you, it doesn't matter how many people are against you. And if God is against you, it doesn't matter how many people are for you. Insecurity, in my opinion, with many people, is rooted in trying to get people that they think have the power to help them in life view them favorably. When really God, it's his approval that you're to go after, and if he approves of you, he'll send people in your path to help you. You don't ever have to try to win anybody over. Good. Looking forward to seeing you in Deland, Florida this month. David's brother, Saul, But David persisted. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club, rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. 1 Samuel 17:36. I've done this to both lions and bears. And I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he's defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and bear will rescue me from the Philistine. Then Goliath tries to discourage him from fighting. So you start to see something here. David had no problem with fighting. The battle, your victory in battle is guaranteed when the Lord's on your side. The reason the Bible says in Galatians 6:8, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap a reward if you don't faint, if you faint not, or you don't give up and quit. The enemy's attacks are rooted in trying to discourage you into quitting, because if you won't quit, you can't lose. Can't. Your victory's guaranteed. Goliath couldn't beat David, so the enemy tries to discourage him through his brother, through Saul, then tries to discourage him personally. My dog, that you come at me with sticks and stones. Now, I want you to notice, how did you see some keys into David's security. David, A, recounted the victories that God had given him in the past. God delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. And recounted what the Lord had done. Only bring up, I want you to write this down, only bring up things from your past if they glorify God or increase faith. And when I say bring up, I'll take it a step further. Refuse to think on anything. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair. You can't stop a wayward thought from coming to you, but you cannot let it have a place in your mind. That's why the Bible says casting down vain imaginations and any thought that would exalt itself against God and His Word. I refuse to think on anything that doesn't inspire faith in me, glorify God. Basically, those two things. Which is really the opposite direction of how Western Christianity works. We're going to break into small groups, and I just want everyone to talk about what moment from the past was the most devastating to you. That's anti-scriptural to think like that and bring it up. What part of forgetting those things that are behind do you not understand? The only time to bring up things from your past or think on things from your past is if they inspire faith in you or glorify God. Pastor Sherry said, think on things that are of a good report. Whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. Great scripture. Hey, Ms. Green from the UK. Thanks for watching. So there's David. Turn to Hebrews 13:5. The King James. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. We'll make those our two golden scriptures for today. 7 steps to overcoming insecurity. I want you to write that out. If you'll type it out, write it out, it helps you to remember it. And it gets it in your spirit. Hebrews 13:5-6, let your conversation be without covetousness. Man, I wish I... What's covetousness? I don't know why they have him preach instead of me. I've been coming here to this church for 8 years. They've never had me preach one time. They always have this guy preach. That's covetousness. You want what that guy has. It's not all just wanting cars and oxen. It's wanting what God gave someone else. A big pastor dies. He's got several kids. He turns the church over to the one kid. The other three are angry that that person got the church. And they wreck their whole lives for the rest of their life over it. Go start little splinter churches. Badmouth that brother or sister, that their blood brother, their blood sister for the rest of their lives. They took should have given it to me. Do you see how he's doing the church? He doesn't. It's not even. There's not even anointing anymore. My dad had miracles. This guy. I think he's in adultery, to be honest with you. That's let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Be content with the things the Lord gave you. That's not, now, you always couple those scriptures with the fact that you're told to be fruitful and multiply. The desire for more was put in you by God, not the devil. But I'm content. I'm not sitting here today going, I don't even want to broadcast. Until we have a studio that looks like ESPN studio, that's 20,000 square feet, I'm thankful for what the Lord's given me. But I'm going to increase it too. And I'm not looking at other people and going like, why does he have that and I don't? Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. God's with me. That drives out insecurity. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. That you can't believe that and be insecure. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. If you preach like that, a lot of people aren't going to have you to their church. I will not fear what man will do to me. Because the Lord, not just I believe in God, the Lord will be my helper. He's a very present help in time of trouble. A shelter in the time of storm. He's a good God. And he loves me, and he's going to help me. Woe unto you Pharisees who seek the honor that comes from man instead of the honor that comes from God. That's what Jesus said. I want to please God, and in pleasing God, I know he's going to continue to open doors for me that no, I'll open a door and no man can shut it. I don't care what someone's stray opinion is of my message or what I preached, but I am strongly concerned about how God felt about it. Seven steps to overcoming insecurity. The introduction. Insecurity, you can write these down. This is all for the introduction. Insecurity is a disgusting odor. It would be better to be unwashed and physically stink and not be insecure than it would to be well-bathed and insecure. It's an odor that drives people away. There's ministers that I meet. I feel like telling them, why don't you just read your newsletter to me? You can't even have a conversation with them. Nice to meet you. I've actually traveled to 36 nations of the world in the last 5 years, and the Lord's been using me in crusades. In one crusade, we had over 100,000 people, and we saw seven. I never asked, you know, like, what are you, a walking billboard for yourself? What's your problem? People don't talk to each other like that. All the information's on your website. If I wanted to read it, I'd read it. Alice, how are you doing today? I don't need a pitch. What do you want me to do with that information? Insecure. Makes people not want to be around you. How you doing? Good. How are you? Our church is really exploding. Insecurity is a disgusting odor, whether it manifests in pride or weakness. Then you have the other end of the spectrum on insecurity. You have the proud one that I was just mocking, and then you have the other kind that's rooted in insecurity. How are you?
Well, I'm nothing. He's everything.
Okay. That's not what the Bible says, but you're obviously depressed. Best of luck with it.
I'm going to sing a song this morning. I ask you to not listen to me. Just listen to the words.
Well, since you're the one singing the words, I don't know how I can listen to the words without hearing you.
Don't listen to me as I sing. Just listen. Just pay attention to the words.
Then pass out the lyric sheet and sit your sad butt down. Which leads me to the second point in the introduction. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. Humility is not thinking less of yourself.
I'm nothing. I don't have a good voice.
That's like, you're just like Lucifer. Run yourself down. Even the devil's like, hey, take it easy. Humility, write down, is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. Putting others first. But I don't put others first because I feel like I'm trash. I put others first because that's what Jesus did. Jesus found out about other people. Tell me about yourself. How long have you been this way? You go, just so you know, I was in heaven about 30 years ago. I've been here since the beginning. I could tell you about, he wasn't going around telling people what colors things were in heaven. He was helping people lift their heavy loads. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. If you don't, number three in the introduction, if you don't deal with insecurity, it'll define every part of your life. And it's sad. It's really sad to see it. And, we've all seen people like this. A woman's husband leaves her for some 20-year-old girl. She's like 48. So then she hits the plastic surgery hard. Starts dressing, not grandmotherly. Because she's trying to prove, because her husband did that and it devastated her. It wasn't dealt with. Now, obviously, that's going to nobody's going to take that in stride. But then the rest of your life can't be you trying to be hot, to prove a point. You can't let your life be defined by an insecurity or by somebody that was super mean to you. Some guy loses the state wrestling championship by 1 point. So for the rest of his life, he's in the gym, walking around in tank top. You can tell when you see some people, something's up. What are you trying to prove? What happened to you? Do you need a hug? I bet you there's like 30% of the population walking the streets, maybe not during COVID, but before COVID, that if you walked up to and just said, hey, let me give you a hug, they'd just break down in tears, men and women.
Thank you. I've never had anyone do that. The last day.
People are hurting, but you can't let your life, you got to deal with hurt. You got to eject it. Honest, before COVID, I think if you just went up and hugged strangers that looked sad, I think 30% would punch you, and I think the other 30% would break down in tears.
Thank you. It's been,
people are hurting. But you can't let it turn into insecurity and then let it define your life. Some guy, when he was 11, his dad called him the P word, told him he's weak. You're not tough. You're a sissy. And now he's in his 60s taking testosterone replacement therapy, human growth hormone and steroids, working out in the gym. I am tough. His dad's been dead like 10 years. He's a grandfather now. Like, he never shook it. Somebody said something to you when you're little. Somebody teased you about your ears on the bus in fourth grade. You have big ears. You have a big nose. You have tiny ears. You have a tiny nose. And your whole life. It's like if you're watching Check the News last night. That one guy wears his hair over the tops of his ears. And he has big ears. And he's in his late 50s, early 60s. You can tell. Somebody said something to him about having big ears when he was little. And now he has a haircut to hide his ears. Get over it. You have big ears. Big deal. You don't have big ears, you have small ears. You don't have a big nose, you have a little nose. And they'll make fun of you for either one. Who cares? You look like what you look like. Look your best. But you can't change your facial bone structure without. Well, you can try, and that's a roll of the dice. Because it either comes out Demi Moore or it comes out Michael Jackson. People getting breast implants, people getting breast reductions. It's like people just want the opposite. There was a guy that I knew in the ministry. He would tell his testimony that he had dyslexia growing up and severe learning disabilities. And I think his dad called him stupid and his classmates called him stupid. So now he has like 2 earned doctorates. And you want to know something? If you hear him talk, he's still not that smart. He just has 2 earned doctorates. But now his whole life, I'm talking any older, his whole life is defined by proving, no, I'm very smart. See, people said I was stupid in fourth grade, but now I have 2 PhDs. His whole life was defined by trying to get back at what his teacher and his dad said in fourth grade. You can't live like that. You know people like that? They got bad grades in high school or had to learn, so they went, just got like 2 master's degrees. Everything is just trying to show. That's what the Bible, that's our scripture for today. I want you, if you would, put it back in the comments. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. About contentment. You are who you are. You know, if somebody heard me preach and they said, Jonathan is a very unpolished speaker, I wouldn't hear that. I'll show him. I'm showing up in a tuxedo tomorrow night. I'm going to have notes and a PowerPoint presentation. I'll show him how polished I can. No, I'm not. That's not my ministry. That's not me. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am. Write that in the comments. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not talking to you sin. I'm not, you know, well, I'm a cocaine addict. That's who God made. I don't mean that. I tried. You can ask my mother. She's on. I made up my mind. When I go to Bible school when I was 17, I'm done making jokes. I'm not going to have a sense of humor anymore. I'm going to just be very serious. And I tried for about 10 days. I can't do it. I don't think Satan gave me, other people may disagree, but I don't think Satan gave me a sense of humor. God wired me a certain way. And it keeps me joyful. So I just accepted it. I am what I am by the grace of God. Now listen, I've done a whole program before on health. If you're morbidly obese, you'll die early and you'll have health problems before you die. Having said that, some women aren't going to be a size 2, no matter what they eat. They're not built that way. You can't do it. Me, I have a body type that if you read it in a book, I don't really put on muscle. I have like, if I work out and stuff, which I'm going to go to the gym today, but basically, you know, I am what I am. I'm not going to try to get experimental surgeries to try to get a 50-inch chest and pectoral. I don't have it. I'm not built that way. I'm built skinny. And I'm going to tell you, if I was built big, I wouldn't wreck my life trying to get skinny. I'm not saying fat, but you know what I'm saying? It's like if you're built big, you're built big. If your shoulders are this wide, you're not going to look like Kate Moss unless you have them shave your bone structure down, which I don't even know if that's a thing. Stop trying to be what you're not. Black people bleaching their skin, white people going tanning to turn whatever color they're shooting for. White people trying to get brown, brown people trying to get white. There is some kind of tendency in human beings to have the opposite of what they had. Curly hair straightening, straightened hair curled. Think of how it would take the stress out of life if you just accepted that you're a bigger girl. You know what I mean? Or you're a skinny guy. So, man, I have 60 grams of protein 3 times a day. And then I got some stuff from Mexico that if you'll inject it in my bum for me, Adalys, it'll get huge. Speak how you speak, you know. God made you like you. Think how much pressure that would leave out of your life if you just kind of accepted. You know, if I took a size like 52 suit and was built that way, with a big chest and big shoulders, I would realize that, yeah, even if I needed to lose weight, you know, I can only get so small because of how my frame. I don't have any advice for my mom. Said, what about these bags under my eyes that are large enough to pack in? I don't have, at least you're in your 60s with that. What do you have to say for me? You know, and then young people trying to look older, old people trying to look younger. I spoke at youth camp when I was in my mid-30s. They said, listen, I know you like to dress up, but here, it's a youth camp. Maybe just throw on like a football jersey or a hockey jersey and some ripped jeans. Listen, I'm married. I have a kid. Those days are over. I'm dressing like a grandfather ahead of time. I look like I should be having a bowl of oatmeal, but I don't care. I'm not 20. I'm not trying to be 20. I was 20. I enjoyed it. Now I'm 40. Then you don't look ridiculous. People on Instagram. 60 is the new sexy. No, it's not. No, it's not there, Angela Lansbury. You end up delusional. Insecurity is a disgusting odor. If you don't deal with it, insecurity will define you. And then I understand that many people have had it differently than I've had it, where you've never had anyone approve of you. You had no... Exactly, Killa. Big friend. You know, it's like, Killa, like if you were trying to look like me, it ain't happening. You're a Hawaiian. You know, there's a... They're big, strong guys. And there's advantages to everything, too. Some people have never had anyone approve of them. You need to deal with that. I want you to take a self-evaluation right now. Did you have a dad in the home? Did he affirm you? Did you have a mother in the home? Did she affirm you? There's people that, you know, if your dad wasn't in the home and your mom was a drug addict or whatever, or still partying the whole time she was raising you, she was basically like a 37-year-old, 18-year-old, and never took her role as the mother. You need to ask yourself if you're dealing with some stuff from that, and you need to get it under the blood. And ask the Lord to help you deal with it today. You don't need to spend a bunch of money in therapy. And how does it manifest? You criticize your kids? You know, I didn't have that when I... Who cares what... Tell them the opposite. Tell your kids, you'll always have more than me. The Lord's blessed me, and he's going to bless you even more. Insecurity will never remain a personal problem. You'll always negatively affect others if you have it. Well, 56 minutes in, how do you beat insecurity? 7 steps to overcoming insecurity. Number 1, secure your relationship with God. And we already dealt with this. If God be for me, who can be against me? That can't just be a scripture you quote. That has to be something that is a foundation in your life. I've repented. I'm right with God. I have right relationship with God. He's for me. And if God is for me, it doesn't matter. Well, let's change it from that word. Who's against me? It doesn't matter who thinks I'm dumb. It doesn't matter who doesn't think I should be able to do what I'm doing or that I'm too young to be taking it. If God is for me, it does. People's opinions are irrelevant. Let's write it like that. If God is for me, let's write it like this. God's approval has made man's opinions irrelevant. God's approval has made man's opinions irrelevant. God's approval has rendered man's opinions irrelevant. Number 1, 7 steps to overcoming insecurity, secure your relationship with God. Number 2, understand that anytime you're feeling sorry for yourself, Satan is talking to you. I never had that in my mind. That's not God inspiring that conversation. You going back 20 years ago, what you had or didn't have. No, if you bring up it's like when I bring up that fourth grade teacher saying that to me. That's to help get a point across, to help people. I'm not, listen, guys, before I go off my message, I just need to share something that happened with me in 1990. It's not that. I'm over it. I was over it at the time. I made her mad, not the other way around. Anytime, number 2, 7 steps to overcoming insecurity. Number 2, anytime you're feeling sorry for yourself, understand Satan is talking to you. You know, your husband left you. Stop in, you know, what did I do? What could I have done better? Maybe he just has an unclean spirit. And it manifested in that he can't keep a marriage. He broke his own marriage. It doesn't matter. You could have done everything right and he'd have left anyway. Somebody that has a problem with gluttony, you could feed them the finest meal on the face of the earth, and in an hour and a half, they're still going to go eat at McDonald's. And somebody that has a problem with adultery, you could be the best person in the world, and they're still going to go find some trash meal somewhere else. If losing people meant that you failed, then Jesus failed in John 6. And God the Father failed when Satan took a third of the angels out of heaven. And again, on the flip side, maybe you were a super crappy wife, but I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt so that you don't beat yourself up. You probably were all right, and the guy would have left anybody. The guy would have left Mary from the Bible. He's a bum. He's a bum rock. Number two, anytime you're feeling sorry for yourself, Satan is talking to you. Move forward. And by the way, there are biblical grounds for remarriage where it's not a sin. And one of them is if the wife's abandoned by the husband. Abandonment. So go find your, quit moaning about what happened. Find yourself a great husband. Go on farmersonly.com or whatever. Knock yourself out. Number three, never let your self-worth be determined by others. Never let your self-worth be determined by others, good or bad. Jesus wasn't moved by compliments. Jesus wasn't moved by criticism. There's times people told me I did a great job and I knew I didn't and I was irritated. And then vice versa. I had a 3-week revival in a town, and when it broke loose, this demon-possessed woman came up to me. I just want you to know, I don't like you. Okay? Noted. And then because I didn't react, I went, okay. She went, and I also want you to know, no one here likes you. Okay? Noted. No one, not just in this church, no one in this whole town likes you. Oh, yeah? Well, they, like, have a meeting at a grand hall and elect you as the leader to come tell me. This lady's nuts. So I wrote down what she was saying in my Bible. I said, hold on, let me get a pen. No one here likes me. All right, noted. Thank you for letting me know. She's just stunned. What am I going to do, sit and argue with her? No, I'm telling you, people like me. I'll never listen to you. I'm not going to let your words affect me. I don't mean like trying to not let people's words affect you. I'm talking just have fun with them. Never let your self-worth be determined by others. There's people your parents didn't approve of you when you were a teenager. They still don't approve of you when you're 55. Who cares? Who are they? Who in their right mind gives people unsolicited advice ever, let alone every time you see them?
You know, I know you enjoy being an engineer, but I always thought you would have made a great doctor, and we were very disappointed that you chose that path. I know, but I'm 59 now, and the ship sailed. Sorry I disappointed you. But you could always watch an episode of Forensic Files and be at least happy I didn't dice you up into little pieces and bury you in a state park. So I'm not all bad.
Never let your self-worth... Do you know how much more of a stress-free year you would have if other people's decisions and opinions in no way factored into your life? There's people that are trying to get their mom to not be Catholic and be Pentecostal. Pray for it. Don't make other people's opinions and choices in any way contingent on your happiness, or you'll never be happy. Number four, so you don't let your self-worth be determined by others ever. Number four, how do you get your self-worth? Derive your self-worth from God's word. What does the Bible say I am? The Bible tells me I have the mind of Christ. Christ had an intelligent mind. The Bible tells me that I'm protected. The Bible tells me I'm alive for such a time as this. The Bible tells me my sins are forgiven. The Bible tells me I've been cleansed. The Bible says I dwell in him and he dwells in me. The Bible says I'm anointed. The Bible says I'm a blessing to my generation. I'm not saying know those things. I'm saying meditate on them. I am anointed with fresh oil. I am who God's called me to be. I'll do what God's called me to do. He'll give me good success. He's given me power to create wealth. That's a good one, J.R. Bennett. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That's a great one, actually. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God made me. Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, let me give you that scripture. When I was a youth pastor, the teenagers all liked it because they were insecure. They'd all write it down places, put it up on the wall. Ephesians 2:10 in the New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Write it down because the Bible says it. I am God's masterpiece. Tyra is a backwoods Louisiana person who's angry that I use something other than the King James. So she wrote, we are his workmanship, correcting me, rebuking me on my own program. I've never been so insulted. Derive your self-worth from God's word. Speak in Christ's scriptures over yourself. I am God's masterpiece. You're never wrong when you quote God. I am God's masterpiece. God loves me. If God loves me, other people are also welcome to love me, but if they don't, it's no problem. If God has a problem with me, I don't really care how many other people love me. I want to get that fixed. Number five. Never think or speak the opposite of what God's word says about you. Never. You know, I'm not that smart. And shut up. Yeah, you're right. You're not that smart because you're saying stuff that's the opposite of the Bible. So stop. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. I want you to say out loud where you're at. I have an intelligent mind. Because the Bible says so. It says you have the mind of Christ. Christ wasn't a moron when you read the Bible. They were sending legal experts to him to try to trap him to say something. And he didn't only answer correctly, he answered in a way that made them wish they never asked him a question. When people needed food and he had five loaves of bread and two fish, he had them all sit down for he knew exactly what he would do. Jesus was on the earth, was very, very intelligent. And we have his mind. You can think your way out of any problem. Don't make little comments about yourself. Number five, never think or speak the opposite of what God's word says. Number six, derive your self-worth from your own judgment of how you're doing, carrying out the goals God's given you. Number six, where do you get your self-worth from besides what the word says? Derive your self-worth from your own judgment of how you're doing or how you're progressing, carrying out the goals that God's given you. I like these scriptures people are putting up. Missy, I am the apple of his eye. Sherry, the memory of the just is blessed. Shay, I abide in the secret place of the Most High. Derive, number six, derive your self-worth from your own judgment of how you're doing carrying out your own goals. I'm not in a competition with other people. If every evangelist I know passes me by, I'll be happy because our end goal is to get people into heaven and free captives from the hold of the devil. So I'm not trying. It's not like we're in a competition of who gets to be God's evangelist. The more, the better. So I care about whether I'm making progress in the areas God's given me to make, that I'm supposed to be doing. Other people can't affect that positively or negatively. So the more success other people have, the better, the happier I am. You know, Makila Okoye, if he posts a picture up that he went back to Maui and 7,000 people came out to hear him, and the most I've ever had come out for one of my own meetings was, 140? That's because people, he preaches a weaker word. People like a weaker word. I preach a stronger word. So listen, that's how stupid people reason. I could be doing what anybody's doing. I could be the best player in the NBA, but I've chosen to be a preacher. You know, that's insecurity. It's like a mental problem. Just be happy for other people. Learn to celebrate other people. In fact, we'll make it 8 steps to overcoming security. Number 7, actively celebrate other people. By the way, before we do actively celebrate other people, when I talked about deriving your self-worth, never allow your self-worth to be, I'm going back up a couple points, never allow your self-worth to be defined by others. Why do you think when you scroll through Instagram stories, people have every hour of their vacation documented or every hour of their trip at a resort, at the pool, you know, the foot shot by the pool? They're not on vacation for them. They're on vacation to let other people know they're on vacation. There's people that document all their travels in the ministry just to let people know I'm a success. I'm traveling. We're staying in a hotel. See how many pictures you catch of me on vacation. I'm not going so other people know I've been able to take a vacation. I'm going to chill with my wife and my daughter. I've thought of leaving my phone home a bunch of times, but I need it to find restaurants and GPS. I may do it anyway. Just look and actually enjoy the trip for me. Let me ask you a question in the comments. Of all the people who go to the Magnolia Bakery, how many people do you think are going there, A, because they think the food's really great, or B, because they want people to know they've been a place that other people think is a hot place? And you could insert a lot of places, wherever the trendy places that I've been, I'm here, I'm doing things other people approve of. You know, that's why people had to shut their churches down. Everything's based on what others feel you should do rather than what you know to do and what's right to do and what you enjoy doing. I'm not, if you have a Louis Vuitton purse, I'm not knocking you. My wife has one. The nicest family I've ever met got her one. Adalys just bought two for two different women. But how many people, you know, they make other colors of Louis Vuitton purse. How many people do you think have the stand? And if you like it, I like it. I've thought of getting my Bible done in that pattern. It's, you know, Louis Vuitton's fine leather from Paris. If you have the dark brown and light brown check Louis Vuitton, I'm not knocking it. That's the one my wife has. I want to be clear, but I'm making a point. How many people do you think buy the one that has the known Louis Vuitton pattern so other people can see that they have a Louis Vuitton purse? Or back when it was Burberry. You know, Burberry made just plain black shirts, but nobody was buying those. You wanted the pattern. You wanted everybody to know, I have an item that's expensive and is a sign that I've arrived in life. You actually end up living your life not doing what you don't even know what you like. You're just like you're actually controlled by commercials and television and Instagram influencers and the rest. You've never even explored what you actually like. You're like a walking stereotype. You just have everything commercials tell you should have. That's why I like Adala. She's like her own thing. I don't know what she is. She's got two guns here. She's got a Louis Vuitton purse, but then also a son of, what's the SOG backpack? What's that company? It's like for military people. That's what she carries instead of a purse usually. A Bass Pro Shop hat that she got before they were trendy because she actually likes Bass Pro Shop. And she's Puerto Rican. Like, Adonis isn't trying to look like anybody or have things they tell you should have on TV. She's just like dressed for combat, which is fine. If you're going to get a Louis Vuitton purse, get one because you like the purse, not to show people you have one. So you can carry it like this to the front row of the church service and plop it down on the seat. I have arrived. I have a purse that many people have. What was number 7? Because I know I added in as a bonus. Help me out. I made the bonus one, number 7, and I forgot what it was. Should have wrote it down. Somebody's going to remember. Bail me out. Celebrate others. Thank you. Ibsa. 8 steps to overcoming insecurity. Number 7, get in the habit of celebrating other people. Celebrate other people. Very funny, Shanette. When the Lord first starts blessing you, you do want the things that you've never been able to have. You know, eat at a restaurant you never could go to, have a purse you never thought you'd be able to even go in the store. I get it. Then it's like, then as time goes on, it's almost like you just go the other direction. It's like, we'll choose to go eat at Cracker Barrel. Because I like how you can be out in like 35 minutes. I like that a waiter doesn't come to your table at the Cracker Barrel and says, have you dined with us before here? Do you know the history of our farm to table? Can I just run through through chef's philosophy of farm to table goods before we start? It's like, I want to eat and I want to get out of here. Congratulations on your restaurant. Congratulations on your farm to table philosophy. We're all very proud of you. Please just bring my food. Would you like to take a tour of the kitchen? I would not. I've seen plates, etc. A lot of stainless steel things. I understand. I just want to eat and get out of here. This is not like this is not like the celebration of my life. I'm having lunch. You know. Just bring me a salad with some fried chicken tenders and dump like a half gallon of ranch dressing on it, and then I want to get out of here. And then I like going to Cracker Barrel too, because you take like 5 people out to eat, and the bill's like $9. The last few times I've gone to Cracker Barrel, I've paid for all the rest of the tables that have been around me because it's too little. How do you tip? Like, the bill comes to $22 because Camila gets one pancake. I don't know whether in second grade people said stuff about her weight or something, but she does not eat much. My wife doesn't order a bunch of food, and there's nothing expensive. You know, if the bill's $22, how do you leave the waitress a $2.20 tip. What? So then I start looking for other people to pay for. Just have a good time. They're not pretentious. I don't know. Do what makes you happy, not what TV tells you to spend money on. Stop trying to just get a life that people have told you you should have. What do you like? If you were a multimillionaire and could buy the finest cheeses that have been that are known to man, there's a lot of you that would just prefer a Kraft single even after you've had it because that's what you grew up on. So enjoy what you like. I know rich people that love... Donald Trump loves McDonald's. He loves Diet Coke. And he's got some money. He's not trying to appear rich. He is rich. So just do what you like. Seven, get in the habit of celebrating other people. I could have done that. When you hear someone's having a good meeting as a preacher, send them an offering. When somebody has an accomplishment, do something for them. Send gifts to people. The Bible talks about gift giving. I'm getting better at it. Celebrate other people. Which leads into number eight. Defeat insecurity. By the way, Jesus celebrated others. Jesus gave a nice speech about how great John the Baptist was. He didn't say, well, yeah, don't talk about him anymore. His time's up. It's my time now. He gave a big... John the Baptist was a great man, is a great man. This generation doesn't know who's been sent to them. Jesus celebrated other people, genuinely. He wasn't lying. He's the Son of God. Celebrate other people. Number eight, seven kind of goes right into eight. Eight, and finally, defeat insecurity the same way you defeat everything else. Seed time and harvest. Anything you have a deficiency of or anything that you want, you sow that thing and you get it back. Proverbs 11:25 in the New Living Translation. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. The generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Defeat insecurity by sowing seeds to other people that help them defeat their insecurity. Compliment people. Not flatter people. Compliment them, genuinely. If I hear somebody preach, I don't come up to them and try to find like one or two things they did wrong to help correct them because I'm the master preacher who knows better than everyone. I'll try to find something good, even if I have to struggle to find it, to tell them, hey, I like how you did that. That was a great, great job today. I really am glad I came to church and got to hear you preach. What you sow, you reap. So if you battle insecurity, love people. Say things out of a heart of love to build them up, and then it'll produce a harvest because seed time and harvest doesn't just work with money. If a man wants friends, he must show himself friendly. The law of seed time and harvest works with everything. So what you need, I've never had anyone to encourage me, then you don't encourage anyone. Because it would be impossible to refresh others and not yourself be refreshed. And I do that. I send people all kinds of gifts every week, whoever I feel like sending it to. Outside of my family, I'm talking about. Other ministers. And I write notes with it. I saw you on live stream on Sunday. You did a great job preaching. You're doing a great job. Great job staying open during the pandemic, despite all the threats you got. You're the best. Great job. Looking up to you. And then you looked, if you were watching me yesterday in the morning and night, it was like Encourage Jonathan Day. All kinds of people were sending me stuff on my phone, writing in the comments, people today about how much their life was changed. What you sow, you reap. So instead of trying to fix you, just bless other people, and then a harvest will overwhelm you that refreshes you. That's Christianity. What you sow, you reap. I'm not trying to fix you and watching like self-help teachers all day, like you just did for an hour and a half. But this is not what I normally do. What you make happen for others, God makes happen for you. Ephesians 6:8. Knowing this, whatsoever good any man doeth, the same shall he also receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So you refresh others. What if before today was over, you found three people online, and don't do it where they know like somebody must have told them at church on Sunday like to encourage three people this week. Don't do some kind of form letter, unfeeling thing. Let me even tell you this. What if you have the person who was the source of your insecurity? I'm not talking about somebody that's abusive. I'm not talking like to reconnect with your husband who like to work your head like a speed bag. I'm talking if your mother has never approved of you. She's never given you any words of affirmation. Your dad's never given you any words of affirmation. What if you sent them something today? Off Amazon or whatever. Gifts don't have to be expensive. The fact that somebody sends you something and they were thinking of you means a lot. It's nice getting something in the mail. Hey, Mom. Well, my mom, I don't even know what I would say to her. How about this? Hey, Mom, I wanted to send you something. I was watching Forensic Files the other night, and the mom killed all her kids. Thanks for not killing me when I was an infant. Your son, Jonathan. You can find things to be thankful. Hey, Dad. My dad, he's a rough guy, man. He never said I love you one time. He never told me I did a good job. Hey, Dad, I was watching Forensic Files the other night, and this dad shot his 5-year-old in the chest because he spilled his milk. Thanks for never shooting me in the chest when I spilled my milk. Your son, Jonathan. The more I watch Forensic Files, the more I'm just, who cares what else your parents did or didn't do? They let you live. Because if I was 1.5 and they put a bag over my head to suffocate me, I was too little to fight back. I don't know if I could fight my dad off now. So thanks that you got me out of the house. You got me breathing, and you took care of me from there. And I love you. Everything else is just gravy, going to your Little League games or whatever. My dad never went to one of my Little League games. Well, you're 71. Let's move on. You went to Little League so long ago, it was back when people threw by winding up their arm like a cartoon character. Time to move on. Well, I believe that any insecurity you had got lifted out of you during these hour and 28 minutes. You feel happy, and you can tell the Lord did something for you. Don't let your approval be based on other people. Read back through those 8 points. Let it help you. Ask questions about people. Secure people don't have to tell everybody about what they're doing. When I got to meet Bishop David Oyedepo, I didn't say one word. I sat for 40 minutes, and I wanted to talk to him. He's my hero. But if I started, what am I going to tell him that I did? He's got 5,500 people in his choir. Am I going to tell him I had 3,000 at a crusade? Bishop Oyedepo, I've been doing crusades all through the United States. We've had up to one crusade. We had 700 people come to the altar. He has 2,200 people come to the altar on average every Sunday morning to receive Christ. I would sound like a fool. He would, he'd be very nice. But secure people and people that are doing a lot, they let other people talk. They're tired of talking. They talk all the time. It's like me. When I finish here, I'm not going to go around telling everybody what I think they need. I'm done. I had a thing to say. I said it, and I'm done till tonight. The Bible actually tells you to show interest in other people. When you have conversations with people, think of this. You already know what you know. So find out what they know. There's people that know things that can help you in life. I was sitting with a guy that does investments not long ago. I don't want to tell him about my meetings. Even if he asks, I want to know about, because he can help me. What are the 5 best things that you would invest in right now? Help me. I want to know. I don't need you to know. Just so you know. I mean, basically people's conversation, they could just save a lot of time by just saying, just so you know, I'm a very important person. like Ron Burgundy. I have many leather brown books. But if you are secure, you're not trying to let everybody know how important you are. You know why when they show celebrities and they take pictures of them and they're dressed like bums? They have on like slides and like basketball shorts and a tank top and a hat and sunglasses. You know, oh man, look how he dresses. You know why? He doesn't have anything to prove to anyone. Just putting on comfortable clothes to go get a coffee. He doesn't have to look like he's has business cards ready. He's successful. Successful people aren't trying to show other people they're successful. So if you're always talking about how great you are, and even if you sandwich it with a couple of religious cliches to make it seem like you're humble, it doesn't work. You know, I've just been having amazing meetings and revivals everywhere we've been going. You know, but it's not me, it's him. You know, no, it's you. Because it's not him that's annoying me right now, it's you that's annoying me. Show interest in other people, refresh other people. Let me pray for you. Lift both hands. Father, I thank you for every one of these who have watched today and listened on the podcast. Bless them. Anything that's of insecurity, husband left, husband said awful things, and it hurt and stayed there. Take it out of them today by your Spirit. Bind up their broken heart. Don't let their life revolve around an Eliab, a Saul, or a Goliath. Let their life revolve and be built on the foundation of who your word says we are. In Jesus' name, help all of us to not be annoying. In Jesus' name. Amen. America said, Jonathan, does your dad laugh at your jokes? No, he does not. You also notice after David killed Goliath, he didn't run back to Eliab. See, I told you I could do it. Here's his head. You were here for 40 days, didn't you? They don't matter. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you can do that right now. Here's a number at the bottom of the screen. We have people, good people, standing by to speak with you on the phone. 412-440-1412. If you're international, throw a plus one on it. Put the book up from yesterday. The Leadership Secrets of Jesus by Mike Murdoch. We've never given this out before. I'm going to send that. Plus my new book, 20 Secrets to an Unbreakable Marriage. Adalis and I co-authored it. I'll send you both those books as a way of saying thank you for standing with us to preach the gospel in what in the natural is a difficult time. Thank you for giving. I want you to ask the Lord what he'd have you to give today, and I want you, as you sow it, to expect a harvest. If you do at the $1,000 level or greater, I'll not only send you both those books, I'll send you the Revival Today Covenant Partner Bible at the $1,000 level. Beautiful Bible. Here's the ways you can give. Hashtag donate on Facebook. Text RT. Thanks, Natalie. No, I like hearing nice things. Text RT to 50155. Cash App, $RTGive. RevivalToday.com/PayPal. You can always just go to our website, RevivalToday.com, and click Give or Give Now. You can mail it, Revival Today, P.O. Box 7, Prosperity, Pennsylvania, 15329. Thanks, Donnie. I appreciate that. And then don't forget to claim your offer at RevivalToday.com.
claim your offer. That ensures we get your name and address and can send you the books. You, if you want to speak with somebody on the phone to give to, 412-446-2332, 412-446-2332. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And notice the correlation in Proverbs 11:25. It works with money too. Proverbs 11:24, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Your giving refreshes a minister. Your giving refreshes me. You know, when somebody gives, sends a $1,000 check to the ministry, we believe in what you're doing. That lifts you. You realize you've made impact. People are being impacted and they believe in you. And then the Bible says, as you bring that refreshing, God will send other people to refresh you. It said, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. In the King James, Proverbs 11:24, I'll read it for Tyra. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than he should, but it leads to poverty. So Solomon, the richest man who ever lived, said, money actually works backwards. You think if the more you keep, the richer you get, but it actually tends to poverty, and there's he that scattereth and increases all the more. And that part of the Bible I've proved. The more you give, the more it comes back. Ask the Lord what he'd have you to give today and sow it in expectation of a great harvest. I will see you live, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, this Sunday, Bridgewater, New Jersey, next Sunday, Vivid Life Church in DeLand, Florida, the weekend after that, and we close the month out at the great new cathedral, the River of Columbus, with Pastor Mike Childs, Midland, Georgia, February 26th to the 28th. And if you're watching in the future, this is 2021. So if you're watching a replay, it's 2024. You're still welcome to go to those places, but you'll be holding your own meeting because we've already had the service. But if you're watching me live, I'd really like to meet you in person. I'd really have the chance to pray with you. Ninja Buddha. Love you all. Thanks for watching today. I think I got everything. Check the news tonight at 11. Have the best day you've ever had. I really love you. Hey, this is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast, or if you're listening to my wife's, thank you on her behalf. If you want to be more than just a casual listener and stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now. And be a part of the 1,000 monthly partners that we're believing for. I have a special gift that I'll send to you today, and I'll say thank you in advance. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.